more, but I love them more. Love me, when my heart overflows, the longer I serve him, the sweeter. Let's sing that chorus again. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day it's like heaven, my heart overflows. One more time. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. More that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. Let's everybody sing it. Come on. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. Isn't the Lord good? Praise God. The Lord bless you this morning. Let's just read a scripture and then we're going to pray and then a couple of things. Just I want to say before I start the message, I want to thank people for prayers and stuff. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 26, and this morning I want to preach on the abolishing of death. And the action of abolishing. And just one verse, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 26. And God bless each one. We greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Let's come and pray this morning. And if you have a need, just lift your hand up before the Lord this morning. Praise God. God bless you, God bless you. Heavenly Father, we reverently, humbly bow before you this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love, for your truth that you've showed towards each and every one of us. And Lord, we thank you that we can take inventory this morning. And Lord, like Margaret said, all that's happening is an attack of the enemy. So Lord, we know our enemy this morning, and he's the devil, going about like a roaring lion. But Lord, you're the truth. You're the way, you're the light. And you said we would overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, and the word of our testimony. So Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ this morning over this house and over every single person in it. And we pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. And we come against every attack, every work of the devil in the name of Jesus Christ, against sickness, disease, Lord, health, strength upon your people. And we say amen to what's already been prayed. Lord, I take the Holy Ghost right now. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. And I take the Holy Spirit to help me right now, and I thank you for it. Lord, for those that can't be here this morning from sickness, may the Lord touch them and heal them. For those that's under oppression and depression, I rebuke that devil and the lie of that devil over them, and I claim them In the name of Jesus Christ, restore the backslidden, we pray. Lord, we ask again for those in authority, give wisdom and guidance. Bless the nurses, the doctors, your own people, Israel, bless and strengthen. Heads of men on every side, for they are your people. In the name of Jesus Christ, and we're your spiritual Israel. Help us now, and grant that you'll move in this service and bless your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. You may have seen it. Praise God. God bless you. So you're not glad the devil's a liar. I'm glad he's a liar. He is a liar. Praise God. And I want to just say as well, I want to thank those that have given to the building fund and offering every week. I really appreciate it. Fellowship appreciates it. And I also want to thank those that tithe. Some people maybe don't believe in tithing, but I believe in tithing. Tithe is a tenth of whatever you earn or have, and that goes to the work of the ministry. So whatever goes in that box for the pastor, then the pastor tithes out of that back to the ministry. And I've been doing that for over 30 years, and I believe in it. And some, I know there's Christians who don't believe in tithing. Well, the Lord bless them. Then we'll take another scripture. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. So either way, we need to give to God's work. We need to give to support God's work. And for the ministry, we need to give. And we appreciate those that do faithfully give. And I mean that. And there's people who have really been good to me. And other different things. Maybe not money and things, other ways. I appreciate it. I want you to know that. Appreciate everything. What you've done for me, and may the Lord bless you. Well, I was married 30 years Monday past. Can't believe it, my own self. 30 years. Sharon deserves a medal. A gold one of that, but praise God. But I decided, I'll not tell her nothing. I'll let on, Laurie. I'll let on. I know nothing about it. And we're not going to do a thing about it, but I had booked somewhere secretly to go for a meal and all, but she didn't know anything about it. And I tried not to tell her to the last minute, and then I sort of had to tell her. And then I did tell her. And we went for a lovely meal last night, but unfortunately, Sharon got food poisoning from the lovely meal. And you know, the thing was, and brothers, I didn't even have a starter. Come, I'll not even have the starter. And I didn't even have a dessert. What do you think that was? Not real good. Was not real good. Had to do something the size of two men. But you know, I had beef and she had beef, but I had a different type of beef than what she had. And she had a wee bit of beef left and says to me, do you want it? And I says, no, I've had enough, but let me try a bit of it. And I tried a bit of it and I said, here, your beef doesn't taste like the beef I got. And it didn't. And we weren't home an hour, and she had pains in her stomach. She's really sick all night, sick all night, and just keep her in your prayers. And said, an attack of the enemy. Absolute attack of the enemy. Then he came here this morning and they had the gate blocked again. Our lovely Catholic neighbours, aren't they lovely? They had the gate blocked again. Now I've been down there to see them before and I've left notes. And I had to send a message to the boy that we know in this hall here as well. Send him a wee message. Because I told him long ago what to do, but he didn't do it. Well, he might never do it because he takes the old priest by the hand and leads him about. So what can you do about it? And I'm not against my Catholic neighbours. I pray God will save them. But I'm against popery. And I'm against Romanism. And all that stands for, I am against it from the top of my head to my big toe. I'm against it. And that's absolutely the truth. Because they're dealing in the souls of men. And let's not hoodwink it. Them people is in darkness and they're going to hell. And there's some old boy down there not telling them the truth. And one day he's going to be judged. And now the blood's going to be required at headman's hands. And I tell you, I don't want to even start on it this morning, but I'll tell you what you ever read. That wee woman that they put in that nunnery. You know, Brother Simon, Sister Charlotte, have you ever heard of her? Sister Charlotte broke out of the nunnery. And when she told it, the secret doors and all, and they eventually went to investigate, they blocked up some of them doors to make out she was a liar. But you know this, she came to one of William Branham's meetings, and her sister's daughter was deaf, and God opened the sister's daughter's ears. And that prophet gave a word over that wee woman as well, right there in the service all them years ago. And the light appeared to her in the basement. A light appeared to her brother Laurie in the basement. She was praying and questioning God. And Acts 2:38 came up in bright letters in the basement, dark basement, as she knelt down and prayed. And I tell you what, she spread the gospel and told her testimony. And they say she disappeared. She actually disappeared. They say she disappeared. They caught up with her. And I met a pastor from New York. Brother John would probably have met him as well, at Brother John McFadden's fellowship. This man was very, very ill a couple of years back. I was meant to go over and preach me and Andrew. But his friend was friends with Roberto Riviero. Who's ever heard of him? And he told us some powerful things. And he told us then, my brothers, I want you to listen to this. He told us then that the Jesuit priests had infiltrated the end time message. Hear me this morning now. The Jesuit priests had infiltrated the end time message. And they were using William Branham's message, but they were using the bits out of it. And one of their methods was to have Jesus on the floor and a man lifted a puzzle. And it's worked in some part, but we know there's the real message. It doesn't do away with the real message. We know that. Let them infiltrate what they will, but God will have a people. Praise God. So I want to look. When Thursday night I wasn't walking too good, I'll tell you. I could show you pictures of my leg, and it's absolutely was black. But I'll tell you what, yous were praying for me. People prayed for me. I know yous did. Because I'll tell you what, I got up the next morning, I couldn't believe it. Boys, that leg started working. I couldn't even bend it at all. And it started working the next morning after Thursday night. Boys, she started working. And the best thing to do now is keep her at it. I'm telling you. People talk about going to physio. That's all the physio is. Some boy rubs you up and down and gets your muscles loosened up, stretched out and stuff. You know, because they go up like spaghetti. We need spiritual physio. Amen. God bless you. I want to thank you for your prayers. God bless you. Keep praying for Sister Sharon as well. And my William was talking about coming this morning. I thought he was going to come, but he didn't. But pray for him as well. God's moving on him. Now, he made a decision when Brian came here and preached some years ago. And he came under real conviction. He couldn't leave the meeting hall when we were in the Orlaby Hall. Around there, the wee orange hall near Guildford. You know where I mean. Tully Leash. And Brian led him to the Lord that night to service. So he is saved, even if he doesn't know it. Do you realize that? When you call on the name of the Lord, God never takes it back. Some people think, well, I'm not doing this and that, so God couldn't love me anymore, but he still does. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. I better get on with, better not start in Stormer. No God Stormer this morning. Better not get started in him. Yellow Stormer, we'll call him. We better leave it at that. Somebody else will maybe give him a touch. And he's well good mate for it. God bless Israel. From the time of Adam and Eve, right from the time that Adam and Eve bent over the murdered body of Abel, right down to this present time, death has reigned over the human race. And no one except Enoch in the age before the flood and Elijah in the Jewish dispensation, they escaped death. Enoch never died for he walked with God and God took him. Elijah never died for he was caught up the chariots of fire up into heaven and he never died. They escaped death's power from the king upon the throne to the very down and out tramp on the street, every single man and every single woman will face death. Isn't that right? Except for the rapture. But only one man has abolished death. Come with me to 2 Timothy 1 verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and have brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So the Lord Jesus Christ abolished death. What is death? Death is the departure of the soul, the spirit, the body is left, leaving the body till corruption, dissolution, whatever way you want to term it. Your soul doesn't die. Your body goes back into the dust from whence it came. Out of the dust goes back to the dust. What does the word abolish mean? Well, in the dictionary, the definition is to do away with. Abolish means to do away with. Put to an end. Annul. Annul. Now, I want you to know that every single one of us had a death sentence over us, but it was annulled. I'm going to show you, the help of God, how it's annulled. How it could be annulled. Even though it was with every man. Naturally, the people asked if Jesus Christ has abolished death, then why does man still die? I want to try and answer that this morning. Death has been abolished, let me say, by proclamation. Hear me this morning. Write this down. Death has been abolished by proclamation. When God planted a garden in Eden and placed man in it, he publicly made a law of rules. He told them what they were to do, what they were not to do. They were forbidden to eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the penalty of breaking that law was death. The death was twofold. First, spiritual death. For Adam and Eve died spiritually. The moment they broke the law, they died spiritually. Secondly, physical death. Adam dying physically. No, he was 930. 930, you hear me? People talk the biggest load of nonsense, and I'm going to just tell you that now. They say people's living longer now than they ever lived. That's not right. The next time somebody tells you that, say that's pure nonsense. They're not living longer now than they ever lived. Because I can go into the Bible here, and Adam lived to his 930, but he still died. And the oldest man that ever lived died before his father did. That was the one Brother John gave us for our RE teacher that he couldn't answer. It baffled him. But the oldest man that ever lived, Laurie, died before his father did. Because Methuselah was the oldest man that ever lived. And he died before his father did, because God took him. Now, our RE teacher, that really confused him, and I didn't tell him for a while. And I wasn't in the only Brother John here told us. We were about 14 or something, maybe. But wasn't it true and good? But I'll tell you, Adam lived. So the next time somebody tells you people's living longer now, say, well, I'll tell you what, I have great, 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 great. You can go right back. And he lived, he was 930. Amen. Death was introduced into the world by the sin of Adam. Romans 5 and 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And tonight I'm going to talk about the two Adams. Tonight, come the night, bring somebody with you. And so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. Now this law of death is still in force because it's never been repealed. Hear me this morning. A law, however, may be nullified, or it may be made of none effect. It may be abolished by an enactment of a law that when it goes into effect will counteract it. So when a greater law comes into effect, it can counteract a law that's already been. So the law of death, though it has never been repealed, has been abolished by the law of resurrection. Write it down. The law of resurrection has annulled, which means abolished, the law of death. That's how it's been done. Now, let us pause for a moment, and I'm going to pause. Show me another man that could do it through resurrection. You can't do it. You can show me somebody that God raised. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a man that could say, I have power to lay my life down. I have power to raise it up again. It's one man. One man in all creation. The second Adam, or the Lord from heaven. He's a man. He's a man. And the Bible says we bear the image of the earthly, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. So it was abolished by the law of resurrection. Christ abolished death when he rose from the dead. And death will be abolished. For who is Christ at the rapture, the catching up? Death will be abolished. There's some of us will escape physical death. Do you realize that? We can escape. We're near the coming of the Lord. How many believe that this morning? When you see wars and rumors of wars being a trouble, Jesus has told us these things are going to happen. Don't be worried about it. Let me read you 1 Thessalonians. You all know it. Now you know that Brother Branham said that it's in three folds, and he says, I show you a fold of it. Show you a fold of it. There's so many messages. I encourage you to listen to sermons yourself. Listen to them. Go on, listen to them. And hear them. So the devil doesn't want you to hear them. He doesn't want you to listen to them. And he wants to put all the scarecrows in the road. But I'll tell you what, they've blessed me for over 30 years. But still listen to them. Verse 13. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, if we believe Jesus died and rose again, even say so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Who's he bringing with him? Them that sleep in Jesus. Now I want you to think of those loved ones that went on. Where are they? They're with the Lord. And he's bringing them with him. And this wonderful verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. This is not some denominational doctrine, this is the word of the Lord. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or hinder them which are asleep. Now that sleep means them that they're died in Christ. Amen. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Amen. And Brother John's experience has really explained about the clouds, the angels of the Lord. The clouds. Not wonderful. Going up in the clouds. To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Then look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Amen. By slaying Christ. Hear me this morning. By slaying Christ. He went the whole way to the cross. You know the devil tried to kill him at the whipping post. He tried to kill him at the very whipping post. He had to get away. Simon carried his cross. Isn't that right? God bless you, brother. But that's true. That was his name. Simon carried his cross. He couldn't even carry his own cross. He was almost dead. But he was set to go the whole way to Calvary. Couldn't be finished there. He was going the whole way. The enemy tried it. Death potentially slew him, for he opened the door for Christ to enter into his dominions. And the grave of the underworld. Christ went in. Into the underworld. We can picture death saying to the captain of the tomb. Listen to this morning. Hold on to that man in Joseph's tomb. And you know that Jesus Christ, Joseph of Arimathea, craved the body of Jesus. And he put him in a tomb for never man lay. And you know that it says in Psalms, he made his grave for the rich and for the poor. And Joseph of Arimathea craved the body of Jesus. And they put him in a tomb for never no man lay. And he's the old captain of the tomb of death. Said, hold on to that man in Joseph's tomb. Corruption have seized upon him. Hold him, this corruption seized upon him. For he comes out, he'll breach the walls and hate it. That's what he said. The underworld through which the prisoners of Hades will escape. But it was not death that had taken Christ captive. Though death God took Christ captive. Are you hearing me now? Death
knowingly stepped into death.
Oh yes, he stepped into it, into the underworld. Death, Christ took death captive, but death thought it took Christ captive. That's actually what happened. Christ simply pursued death. Christ pursued death into his own dominions. On the contrary, it's coming forth, leading captivity captive. For the Bible says he led captivity captive and he rose up on high and he gave gifts to men. So Jesus Christ went after death and he conquered death and he conquered hell and he conquered the grave. And he took the keys of death. He took the keys of hell. He took the keys of the grave. I love the words of Reinhard Bonnke. He's the only man I ever heard saying it like I'm going to tell you what he said. He said that Jesus plundered hell that he might populate heaven. Isn't that great? He plundered hell that he might populate heaven. I'll tell you, when he went down in, that old devil was hiding up in the corner with the keys on him, and he took them clean off his side. I remember once, brother, in Zimbabwe, and I told one of the brothers, you know, see if you can get me three big keys for the service tonight. Three big, large keys. And they got me these keys, and I preached about the three keys in Zimbabwe, brother. That's a few years ago, probably 2005. But I tell you, thank the Lord. John 11:25 says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Hallelujah. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. When Jesus Christ conquered death, he conquered hell, he conquered the grave. And because of the resurrection, he changed things. He nullified death itself when he rose from the dead and he became the first fruits of the resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. For him that's born of God shall no more die. Death will have no more dominion over the real believer. That's the word of God. That's what God says. Psalm 68:18. Thou hast ascended on high, O glory to God. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also, the Lord God Almighty dwell among them. This is the Lord Jesus. Isn't he wonderful? Look what Jesus Christ said to John on the Isle of Patmos when he appeared to them in Revelations 1, verse 17 and 18. And when I saw him, this is John, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. I am the first and the last. After Jesus rose, there was never going to be another believer that ever would be held captive with death any longer. Even if you physically, your body could go to the grave, but you're going to be resurrected, but your soul goes to be with the Lord. And I've read you that they come back with them. Oh, and I'll tell you what. You see them bodies that's in the grave when they're turned back to dust. Some's been in there a long, long time. All down through them seven church ages. All them years. And the graves is going to open. And you know, I didn't turn to the scripture, but when Jesus rose from the dead, the Old Testament saints rose. Because the Old Testament saints were held in a place called Abraham's bosom. It wasn't actually heaven. It was Abraham's bosom. It was a place they were held in. The blood of Jesus Christ had to be shed. Jesus Christ had to resurrect. But when Jesus Christ resurrected and when his blood reached the whole way to heaven, I want you to know that they were resurrected. And my Bible says it saw them, many saw them and they feared. Where did they go to? Where did they go to? Where did they go to if they saw them? There was a resurrection.
And Brother Branham said, when the rapture takes place, there could be a getting together over about 40 days. How many knows that? There could be a getting together. And he says in another place, your loved ones will appear in unto you. Then you will know it's on. And I know a lot of preachers are preaching, we'll go through the tribulation and we'll see this and see that. But the Bible says in Romans 8 verse 1, there is now no condemnation. That means judgment to them that are in Christ Jesus. I believe we're caught out, caught away from it. Caught away from it. Our loved ones could appear in on us. He says, you'll know it's on. You will know. You think of it this morning, you can't explain to me. I can't fully explain to you. All I can tell you is the Bible. But the dust or whatever's left, and them souls coming back with the Lord, and their bodies, as them graves, are going to be changed. Dust changed. Changed. And I'll tell you, there's not one old person entering heaven. Did you hear me? There's not one old person entering heaven. We're going to be turned back to young people. I'm going to tell you this morning, and I don't know if I've ever told it here, because when it happened, I wouldn't tell it. But I'm going to tell you now. Do you remember when I preached a lot of services about death and hell, about heaven and angels? No. Not that long back. And I prayed some of the things that I wanted to say, whether I should say them or not. And I prayed about it. And I tell you, I had an experience. And Rock came into my bedroom. My brother. Right in. But he didn't look like when he was here, 50 years of age. He looked like when he's a young fella plastered. And his clothes looked like the white dust on them, off the plaster and everything. He was young. And I couldn't believe it. It was so real to me. And that's the truth. Now I know some of you mightn't believe it. And I hear people, when people tell supernatural things or a dream or anything, some people don't. That's fine. But it happened to me and I believe it. But I tell you what, I said, how did you get here? You're dead. You're dead. Where have you been? How did you get here? And he never spoke a word. But he looked straight at me, smiling. And he never stopped smiling. And he laughed his head off. Now you remember how Rock used to laugh. I'll tell you what, he could laugh. And he kept laughing his head up. He kept just looking at me and smiling. And I don't know how many times I said to him, how did you get here? You're dead. How did you get here? And there he was. A young man standing in my bedroom. And I could not believe it. And then he went and I followed him and he was heading to a big road. And I shouted at him, there's traffic on the road, you need to watch out. And he just looked at me and smiled. And laughed. Then I woke up. We're going to be changed. Now I had that dream because there's some things I wanted to preach. And I wasn't sure to preach it or not. And I had that dream. And I want you to know this morning that there is witnesses watching in this service. Are you hearing me? And you remember when I preached from the book of Daniel that I showed you that there's watchers. How many remembers that? There is watchers from heaven. And God in the 20th century, hear me now, hear me, sent investigating angels. Just like in the days of Noah and Lot, he sent investigating angels. God again sent investigating angels in the 20th century. And he came and he revealed the secrets of the heart. And we absolutely saw the Son of Man ministry displayed. And many might not believe it, but it's absolutely the truth. And I know people, I'm in between on both sides. I'm getting kicked from both ends. But it doesn't really worry me any. Some say I'm not in, some say I'm out and all the rest. It doesn't bother me a bit, so long as I've got the Lord and I know what I believe. Amen? I tell you, in this proclamation, we see that Christ had abolished death. Revelations 1:17-18. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I am the first, the last, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. In this proclamation, we see that Christ abolished death, that has the keys of the underworld, of the grave. And the sooner or later, he will open their gates and free their captives. And death, the last enemy, shall be destroyed. 1 Corinthians 15:26. Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. The immortality of the body, 2 Timothy 1 verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So when a man tells you, oh, and I don't care what sort of a nightshirt he's wearing, when he tells you we do not need the gospel today, you better mark his guard there and then. And you better know that he's not coming out of this Bible. Amen. That he's been sent by somebody else, and it's not God. Because it's the gospel. And you know, the message and the gospel is not two different things. Amen. The real message that God sent is the real gospel. It's the same gospel that Paul preached and Peter preached. That's the gospel. Amen. And that's what we believe this morning. Jesus Christ not only abolished death, he brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. It was immortality of the body, not the soul, that Jesus brought to light. Listen to me. The immortality of the soul is not questioned in the Old Testament. But the immortality of the body was in doubt until Jesus revealed it and proved it by his own resurrection from the dead. The soul was never in question, even in the Old Testament, but the body was. But Jesus Christ's own body was resurrected. And you know that Psalmist David said, I will not suffer mine Holy One to see corruption. And God raised him up from the dead. Once the bodies of the righteous are raised, they can no more die. For they are equal unto the angels that never die, hear me? And are the children of God, being the children of the first resurrection. Luke 20, verse 36. Neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels. So when you say, I don't know where he got that scripture from, you can mark that down and you'll know the next time where it come from, the Bible. Luke 20, 36. Equal unto the angels, and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Hallelujah! But this is not true of the bodies of the wicked. The bodies of the wicked shall rise again at the second resurrection, and after the judgment shall be sentenced to the second death. Second death. Revelation 20, 11 and 12. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. I tell you, this is almighty. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Books. Doesn't say one. Books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works. And you know, when you go through the seals, and Brother Branham preached the seals, and he refers to this book and another book. And your name is written in the Lamb's book of life from the very foundation of the world. It wasn't the day came when God marked it. God knew you by predestination. You were in him before you were born. And he knew you. And your name was in that book. And when the books are opened and there is a book, the book, the Lamb's book of life, your name's in it. There's a natural book of the natural life. We know that. And there's a Lamb's book of life. And we're in both books. Isn't that great? Some people are not in both books. They're in one book. But aren't you glad you're in both books? not be lost. And that book's going to be opened. Let me tell you something here this morning. I got a phone call a few years ago. My wife's cousin, Andrea, married a fella called Brian. Most of you know Brian. Pray. Brian's been rushed to hospital. Brian actually medically died for a time. But God brought him back. And he told what he'd seen. And he went beyond. And he came into a place, and there was two great angels and a book. And there was a book on a great desk. And he said, "Is my name in that book?" And they said, "If your name wasn't on that book, you wouldn't even have made it this far. But your name is in that book." And then a voice from above says, "You must go back. You have responsibilities. You have a family. And you're going back." And he came back into his body and into the bed. That's his own testimony. I want to tell you, these things are real. I know the denominations won't believe none of this stuff. But we're not a denomination.
Amen.
We're word believers. Bible-believing Christians. No book but the Bible. No creed but Christ. That's a bad thing. Ezekiel 18:20, "The soul that sinneth it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. Righteous of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wicked of the wicked shall be upon him." I tell you, we're living in evil, wicked days. And if ever we needed to be reminded, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Noah and Lot, so shall it be when the Son of Man's revealed. Amen. We are living in that time. Now I'm going to give you a side look at this again this morning, because when I went back and notes I had, the number had almost doubled. What I'm going to tell you, that's just a few years. When we look today at this evil world, in 1 year there's up till 73 million abortions. That's approximately 200,000 abortions per day from World Health Organization in their writings. That's where I got it from. Overall deaths, abortions tick in over 50% of them. So they do the same thing with that, what they did with COVID. When they refer to deaths, they don't tell what causes it. But they quote all deaths, but it's a part truth. And I tell you, that's a lot of abortions. A lot of abortions. And I tell you, there's a system this morning, and it's dark, and it's black, and it's wicked. And I've read the history of it over the years. And I've read for nuns had babies to priests, and the old mother superior, hell, put those babies that was born in a cold stone slab and held their noses till their breath stopped breathing. That is the system we're talking about. I'll give you the scripture for it. All deceivableness of all unrighteousness. And I want to tell you that they're under darkness this morning. That's why Luther's my hero. You say you can't stop like that. I'm doing it. He's a hero of the faith. Because you have to understand, he came out of the dark blackness of Rome. He was the top of the top in it. A monk of the Augustine order. His soul darkened. Stripping himself and beating himself. Working his way to heaven. But the word of God, being the light of the world, broken in his black soul and his black heart. And in one scripture was greater than all the writings and all the works and all the duck's blood and false oil of popery. One scripture. Because that one scripture was approved and stamped by the blood of Jesus Christ as of a lamb without spot and blemish. The precious blood of Jesus. One droplet of the blood of Jesus is more powerful than anything. I tell you, it's absolutely potent. Use it in nurses or doctors. You know there's some medications and they are potent. And you just need the smallest amount, whether it's a tablet or a liquid form. You can get out stuff for the chemist there for things. And you put it in you, you might as well never take it. You could drink two bottles of it, wouldn't fizz you. But there's stuff, when you touch it, you will be intoxicated. Like alcohol. There's some alcohol that's a low proof. You could drink it, you maybe wouldn't get drunk, but there's other stuff and it's a high volume of alcohol in it. But the blood of Jesus Christ is 100% proof. It's not a percent, it's all. And I tell you, I'm going to tell you another thing, and I'm coming to close this morning. I want to tell you the words of a prophet of God when he said when the first blood cell broke on the cross, the life of God was released. The very life of God. And Romans says that the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. It will quicken, make alive your mortal body. I tell you, we're quickened this morning because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Death's been abolished. We've no fear of the grave. This body can go to the grave, but it's going to come out of it one day. But our soul and our spirit's going to be go to the Lord, because we're born again of an incorruptible seed which liveth and abideth forever. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're saved? Let's stand our feet. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to pray, and our brother's going to come and just sing whatever the Lord leads this morning. And God bless you all so much. Isn't God good? Aren't you glad you're saved? We need to be praying. That's why we need to pray for our Catholic neighbors. I don't believe in doing the orange prayer for Rome. Now, understand me, that Rome will be delivered from her darkness and be saved. Absolute nonsense. She'll never be delivered from darkness. Rome itself will never be saved. God's going to come again, Rome. God's cutting her down. And I tell you, that's the Bible. And we're going to laugh at it. That's also the Bible. We're going to be like Abraham, like we heard on Thursday night. It's going to be some laughing. Hallelujah! God's going to judge her. She's a cup in her hand. The wine of fornication this morning. And all the kings of the earth are drunk of it. They're drunk. There's a lot of denominations drunk as well with it. With a false doctrine. And they produced hybrid seed. And it cannot go again. The old mule can never reproduce its own self, because he's not original. But spoken word in the great, isn't Genesis great? In the beginning, God said. God said. And I tell you, it still cannot be God said. Amen. Now, we should be praying for those in this country that do preach the truth. Pray for them. Even if they're not part of our group running, that's not important. Pray for them. There's still genuine men and women of God all over. Pray for them. Let's bow our heads. If you want prayer, lift your hand to the Lord, and I'm going to pray again. You say, really pray, brother. I'll pray again. God bless you. God bless you. And you keep praying for me, Sister Sharon, and the family, that they'll all come in. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you for your mercy, for your grace, for your love and your truth. Most of all, you've abolished death. You've conquered it, Lord. Defeated it. You wear the victor's crown this morning. The crown that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. You pursued death. And you conquered death, hell, and the grave. You're ours this morning. Lord, your word says, for by grace through faith that we saved, that not of ourselves. We have believed in you. We have believed in our heart that God has raised you from the dead. We've confessed with our mouth that you are Lord. Father, bless your people. For the hands raised, you know the special needs of the people, Lord. Lord, I don't know everything which is needed, but you do know, Lord. secret prayers that's been prayed. We thank you how you've answered prayers this week. Lord, we bring it all before you now as your children. And Lord, we do pray for Catholic neighbors. Pray that you'll open their eyes and open their understanding and bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth. Bless and undertake. Help us. Bless the service tonight. And have your way in our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you as Brother Gary calls.
Amen. Praise God. I enjoyed that this morning. Praise God. As Tommy was talking about the laughing, there's a song. I'm going to have to get the words for it. That one, we sang a chorus of it about the Holy Ghost will set your feet a dancing. But there's a verse in it about when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and through the Red Sea. He put a dance in Sister Miriam's heart. She danced along the seashore. Praise God. Because the enemies were destroyed. That's it. But so we'll have to get the words for that. Praise God, that's good. And you know, just as he was speaking about Martin Luther, about being his hero, you know, it's very easy to underestimate what God really done. Just lately, have a wee daily reading. It's a church history. It's really tremendous. I really enjoy it. But it was talking a bit about John Wesley. And you know, just lately I had heard Brother Brand preaching. He had mentioned what this daily reading had said, but in France there was what they call the French Revolution, and I don't really know much about it, but I watched a little documentary on it. I had heard Brian saying about it, and then I had it in my daily reading. But there was a great upheaval in France where they invented the guillotine and heads rolled. It really was a dark time where a lot of people was killed, innocent people too, just an awful lot of death and brutality. And it would have hit England as well, only for John Wesley. John Wesley reformed England. He made such a change in that country. And it was credited that the reason why the revolution didn't spread to England was because of the ministry of John Wesley. And when you think of what that man done, travelled the breadth and depth of England, Scotland, Wales and Ireland. He came over here on a rowing boat. And he done it all on horseback. There was no internet. There was no mobile phones. There was nothing like that. He done that on horseback. And do you know what about it? Before John Wesley was truly born again, he said that he really struggled with salvation. And he went till where they were having like a Bible reading one night in a little street. And he went in and they were reading Martin Luther's work on the preface to Romans. And it was a scripture of justification by faith. When it was read, he said he felt his heart strangely warmed. And God really revealed to him that it was by his faith in Jesus Christ. Now you imagine Martin Luther, beside all what he'd done, if he never done anything else, only write that introduction or give an exposition of the scripture in Romans that got John Wesley saved. And look what John Wesley done in England. There's no telling what can be done on one scripture. Honestly, it is so, I really don't think, really when we think about it, that's truth and justification by faith. It literally turned the world upside down. Saved millions of lives. I know there was a lot of lives lost too at the peasant wars and stuff, but you know, it was really tremendous what God had done. You know, I remember saying one time years ago, you know, you might not feel like you do much, but imagine you were the man that led Charles Spurgeon to the Lord. Imagine that was all the only soul you ever led. I don't know who that was or what, or if he led other souls, but imagine that you were a man and you led someone like Charles Spurgeon to the Lord, and that was all you ever done. But it was a cook. Spurgeon. Well, imagine that. Because Spurgeon has said that he led a soul to the Lord. 10 souls was it. Every day for years upon years. A man led thousands of souls to the Lord. Now imagine that little cook lady might not have done too much or seemed too important. But imagine that. So you don't know what's God's mighty. And God can do tremendous things. It's really, really tremendous, praise God. And you know, we're so grateful to have the truth and what God done through those men. Like, you really think about it. It was said if that man, wasn't it Billy Graham, when he was a young man and visited John Wesley's house, and the holes was in the floorboards at the side of his bed where his knees was for in prayer. That man had more done at 5:30 in the morning than most of us would do in the whole day. That man, honestly, it said that when he was preaching in the fields, he was rejected in the churches. He couldn't preach in a church. They wouldn't have him. And they said there could be anything between 200 and 20,000 people. Imagine that at 7 o'clock in the morning, preaching to a crowd of 20. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? It's unfathomable, but God done it. Praise God. And we're glad to be part of that godly heritage, praise God. And it still has an effect today. And you know what the good thing about it is? You're saved just the same way. Never was no amendments made to it. It's just the same, praise God. And it never has changed. Amen. Bless Brother Tommy this morning. I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed it. I've been thinking of everything's coming, everything's just bubbling up, and it's hard to keep it under wraps. But you know, I was thinking about that Trojan horse that the Greeks put in among, I don't know where it was, there were Greeks and somebody else, I think they were the Trojans, but they put in this horse and they thought they were getting a gift, and they got right inside the enemy's camp. And I was thinking about how that God sent Moses into Egypt as a little baby. What did they do? They brought him in. And they raised him and they fed him and they gave them all the education and they trained him and they made him a great soldier. And it was the very thing that they nurtured that destroyed them, praise God. And you know, Jesus done that when Tommy said that about he pursued death. I like that because that's what God done. He sent a little baby, the most innocent little thing, the Bible says made of a woman, suckled on a woman's breast, raised up as a little child, cried when he got hungry. You know, the devil couldn't understand it and he thought he could kill him. But he done the wrong thing, for he ended up in hell where he plundered it, praise God, and led captivity captive and set them free. Glory! Hallelujah! Isn't he wonderful? Amen. Praise God. I wish I could know the words of all that song, the Holy Ghost will set your feet a-dancing. But I don't. We'll sing that one. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Praise God. Amen. God is the man. Satan like a roaring lion. Satan's like a roaring lion, roaring through and through, thinking who he may be more, the Bible tells us so. Many souls have made his prey, all in some way gone. God has promised us today, greater is he that is in me, greater is he that is in me, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. On the day of Pentecost, the God came. Thank you. sing one chorus and then just going to give opportunity if anybody would like to pray before we would close this morning or this afternoon. Maybe you would like to pray and just express your thanks. Let's sing Majesty, Majesty, worship His Majesty.
Up your precious name, and we will.